Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Got him! For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions.
And they clinch it against the team they had to chase down early in the season. 10 games back to win their fourth straight division title.
It looked early in the season like the train might be off the track, but this Astros locomotive is relentless.
Todd Callis on the call. We did it at 6. We'll do it again here at 8 because some of you probably hung over from celebrating the Astros winning their 7th AL West championship since 2017. Have you heard the good news? If you celebrated last night, you know the good news. But the good news is this. The Astros are AL West champions. They will be the 3 seed for the first time under the new playoff structure. What's that?
Is that how we're saying the word structure now?
Structure, yeah.
That's all it. All right.
Goes back a ways. Structure. The first two times under the 6-team format for each league, the Astros have been fortunate enough, even last year, where it came down to literally the last day for them to win the division with 90 wins, they were still good enough for the 2 seed because the AL Central was so whack, and Minnesota won the division winning like 84 games or 85 games. But they'll be the 3 seed this year. And yet we have yet to know who they're going to face. Detroit is the hottest team in baseball right now. They would be, I believe, the 5 seed. Kansas City is hanging in as the 6 seed. Baltimore clinched a wild card last night. They'll likely be the 4.
Yeah.
And then, so it comes down to Minnesota's 2 games back of the Royals right now, with, I think, 5 games to go for each of them. Minnesota's awful right now. They were 70 and 53 a month or so ago. They're like 80 and 73 now. They're like 10 and 20 in their last 30 games. They've fallen apart, which is really a shame to see based on how I got treated up at that ballpark up there back in July.
Yeah, it's astounding that human beings could treat another human being that way.
Really sad. Yep.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
So I saw a lot of people that did not want any part of the Tigers coming to Houston for wild card series. And I couldn't tell if it was because of the A.J. Hinch factor or just because they're such a hot baseball team.
I think it's because they're such a hot baseball team. Skubal feels like he's there Fromber, but probably better than Fromber. Like, he's going to be the Cy Young winner in the American League this year. So in a 2 out of 3 series, and you got Skubal as one of the starters, like, you, it feels like you've got, I don't care where the game is, it feels like you've got an advantage there. Now, the Astros, if I recall, hit Skubal pretty well one of the times they faced him earlier this year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It was a little bit of like, oh, who's this fella?
Right,
oh, whatever,
right.
All right, yeah.
Yeah,
probably how the Vikings people felt about the Texans offense.
Probably. So
probably. Like, wait, this? This is what? Oh, all right.
So I think that's part of it. Man, the Tigers have done it. I was listening when I was walking yesterday. I was listening to some radio. I forget what show it was, but they were talking about the Tigers and they've won games with like 11. They've started 11 different starting pitchers in like the last like month and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, AJ Hinch has really done a phenomenal job of piecing that thing together up there. They were sellers at the deadline.
Well, I bet when AJ Hinch went to Detroit, it'd be interesting. You know what? Yeah, I should. That'll be some rabbit hole I get into this weekend.
Yeah.
Reading about just maybe that organization and how they've changed. Remember the story about how when Verlander went to the Mets, the story goes that he told some people in the Mets, like, hey, you know, the Astros do this and do that, and it seems to work for them. And the Mets were like, nah,
right.
Not for us.
Okay.
All right. I guess just spending a bunch of money and don't learn from people who have done other good things well. All right. That seems
Verlander's
like
bro, it costs way less for high-speed video cameras than it does to pay for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Why would I pay $10,000 for a high-speed camera when I could buy a human being?
For $43 million, yeah.
Yeah. That's a... I wonder with AJ Hinch just and, you know, all the things that he could work with them on, okay, like how do we improve this organization?
Yeah.
Like, pitching certainly seems to have been one of them, being able to get really good performances out of other nondescript pitchers.
Yep, no question. So the dynamic that's really fun about the Astros being the 3 seed, look, they've got to play a wild card round starting next Tuesday. It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It'll be at Minute Maid Park, and we'll wait and see who they play. in that series. If the season ended today, it would be the Kansas City Royals, who, last I checked, they swept the Royals in a series not all that long ago. And the Royals have, as well, they've also, like the Twins, been playing largely uninspired baseball over the recent weeks here. So the Astros are going to be favored against anybody they play, even the Red Hot Tigers, I'm guessing. The A.J. Hinch angle will be a lot of fun. The fun thing about being the three seed, Seth, the Astros, is that whether they're the three or the six or whatever, they are by far the most accomplished team in the American League in these playoffs. You know, big picture. You know, they ALCS every year, two World Series wins, been to four World Series. Like, they are the big bad wolf in the eyes of these teams. And I know that because I listened in on some Cleveland radio today. And the talk with Cleveland, when I was listening to them, is they still feel like they got to keep their foot on the gas pedal maybe to catch the Yankees to get the one seed, because then you avoid the Astros in the ALDS.
Yeah.
You don't get the Astros. And I guarantee you this is a narrative and a topic up in New York. We've got to keep this one seed because the two catches the Astros in the ALDS. So the Astros, take pride, Houston, that the Astros, even as the three seed, even as this team that's only going to win probably, what do they have won, 86 games? The team that's going to win, for the first time during this reign of terror, they're going to be sub-90 wins in a regular season, a full regular season. They are still the team, I guarantee you, that drives fear into the hearts and minds of Cleveland fans and New York fans. They want no part of an ALDS where you've got to face Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, maybe even Yusei Kikuchi, and this lineup of guys that have more big hits than the rest of the American League combined in the postseason over the last 10 years.
No, and I think, honestly, we might be in a rare position now with the Astros where maybe for the first time since 2017, I feel like the average Astros fan might actually feel worse about the team itself than the rest of the league does. Just in that, like, it's because it doesn't, they've been the best team in baseball since June 1st. I think the rest of the league looks at it and thinks, all right, it was really weird at the beginning, but we didn't really live through that. We don't have the emotional scars from all of that. They are, in a lot of respects, even though the names are different, the dominance of the pitching, the threat of the lineup with the big names in it, all of that is, they've been a very, very good baseball team since June 1st.
Yeah.
And then you get into the postseason and you have all that postseason experience that they can rely upon and draw from. I think they're probably as dreaded now as they have been at any point in the past.
Well, this Yordan knee injury looms large. You know, if we knew for sure that Yordan was going to be around for the postseason, we just don't know. Let's play that, Ben, if we could. Joe Espada last night. I know it's fairly far down there on the rundown. Espada, here's Espada on Yordan pregame last night.
Yeah, that's kind of the same feel I have from him. It's kind of day to day. The inflammation needs to go down. He did say that he's feeling better than he did yesterday. So hopefully we get improvement day by day. So we'll see. Time will tell. It would be great to have Yordan off the bench. It would be great to have Yordan in some capacity, but we want him to be able to do that. So we just need to give him some time and see how he feels the next couple of days.
He said he was feeling a lot better today. Is that encouraging that he is getting better?
Yeah, because that's what it's going to require for us to get him back on the field. Inflammation, mobility, more also for state of mind, right, that he feels like he can push off, he can do things on a baseball field that he's, that he normally does. So we just got to wait and see.
All right, so that's the update, and I guess I'm assuming we'll get updates here over each of the next several days. Yordan has got, what's today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so he's got 6 days to get feeling good enough to play.
Yeah.
You know, good enough to play. If Yordan were healthy, I would feel really strong about what I'm about to say. And Yordan, it's such a big variable. But I, if he were healthy, I would feel like this is definitely a team that's better equipped to get to a World Series than the one that got to Game 7 of the ALCS last year.
Yes.
I think this is a better baseball team.
Look, and the relief staff alone, if you think about one of the big headaches or heartaches or just sore spots in the offseason, and whether Espada had actually, or excuse me, whether Dana Brown had actually done enough to improve it or what have you, I think that that alone, the strength of your pitching in total is just it's night and day over what it was last year. This feels like a team that's much better built for the postseason. And then, I mean, offensively, if you want to talk about the Yankees specifically, I mean, aside from the head-to-head matchups and what have you, which the Astros have just 100% owned the Yankees in the postseason during this run. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aaron Judge is still a guy that in his playoffs is a career 211 hitter with a 772 OPS,
yep.
Whereas Yordan Alvarez is a 295 hitter with a 949 OPS in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you talk about, hey, get your home run titles and your AL home run records all you want in the regular season. Aaron Judge has been fraudulent in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, just a bit above it. He's a bit of an above average player in the playoffs.
Yep.
Whereas Yordan's just been a machine.
Yep. No doubt. I think if Yordan can play, I think this is a better team. Got a better chance than I think this is a better version of Peña than last year. Remember last year Peña hit his last home run on July the 5th and didn't hit one the rest of the year. The top of the rotation was very unreliable at the end of the year. I mean, Christian Javier gave up like 7 runs in under an inning in either game 6 or 7 of the ALCS. Like Javier just wasn't what he was in 2022. Now you feel like I feel like you got 3 guys you can roll out there in a best of 3 series, a best of 5 series, a best of 7 series, and you got a really good chance.
Yeah, Javier was just, I mean, he was always in that region where you just didn't know, okay, is he a reliever or is he an actual full-time starter? And you wouldn't know until he would go a full season as a bona fide full-time starter. And it turns out, like, okay, he's somewhere in between still.
Yeah.
You got bona fide starters out there.
Yeah, for sure. How about this stat from last night? Logan Gilbert, the starter for the Seattle Mariners last night.
Yeah.
He was in his career. He's a really good pitcher. In his career, he was 37-0 when getting 3 or more runs worth of support prior to last night, and the Astros beat him 4-3. Obviously, that's incredible. It's more incredible that he got to 37-0 than it is the Astros beat him 4-3.
Yeah.
But that was when they said that stat. I'm like, okay, well, that's not something that feels very good being down 3-1 right now.
I always look at that stuff where it's a weird fluke. Is just he's due. He's gonna lose his next
37 though. That's like
yeah.
He's very due.
It's all just a fluke of nature. That's all.
Very due. Yeah, that was good job, Astros.
Well, because he's been really good versus Bregman, too. I knew as soon as Bregman cranked one out of the park, I was like, all right, well, we're good.
It's going to be a funky night, man.
It'll be messed up for him. Bregman owns this dude now.
You're
ours now, okay?
Yeah. Text message. This is back to football. Defensive coordinators are winning the first 3 weeks. Against the passing game, they are for sure. I haven't looked at scoring numbers to see if they're down generally, but against passing, like the only quarterback in the NFL that's thrown for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a game is Andy Dalton.
Yeah, the scoring is I was looking at a graphic yesterday that I blanked. But, yeah, a lot of it just, like, across the board, the offenses are not as explosive as they were.
Yeah.
And some of that has to do with either rustiness or what have you, but also just teams of – you've kind of seen this coming. And, honestly, the Texans' defense might fall into this category a little bit. This is what they need to worry about. Defenses have gotten literally lighter. Like, they've got their linebackers are more like safeties. You know, they're so geared up to stop the passing game that now the balance is starting to swing back towards, all right, the offenses have gotten good too. But defenses are saying, all right, well, if the passing game is so good, we're going to sit back and we're going to play cover two. And we'll just take away the pass. The area of opportunity, this is where the Texans side of it comes into it. It's interesting. The area of opportunity, if defenses are going to just play a bunch of zone against you, cover two, like in the old days, if a defense wanted to play cover two against you, you'd say, oh, all right, well, we're going to line up and we're going to beat the snot out of you, mm-hmm. candy asses.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, teams like the Texans are seeing a bunch of cover two, and they're not equipped to handle it. They don't know how to run the football. It used to be, oh, you're running cover two. Well, we're going to run for 200 yards. Now, these guys have grown up without ever having gotten a fist fight, without ever having, like, too many of them had happy childhoods. They're not equipped for the violence of the run game. So you've got a bunch of guys with high self-esteem, with no natural born violence in them, and they're trying to run the ball, and they can't do it versus the easiest defense in the world to run the ball against, cover two. Mm-hmm. And they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because you got all these fancy lad offensive coordinators that want to be math geniuses more so than they want to actually have physical football teams.
And then you've got Mel Kiper Jr. saying, we need to ban the too high safety look. Bring everybody in closer to the line of scrimmage. Like, that's the worst. People who, there's something happens in a sport, there's a trend, and the correction is, well, we got to change all the rules. You know, it's not come up with another chess move to combat that.
And so on the defensive side of it with the Texans, what I worry about is that their base defense is basically a nickel defense, which is, you got Jalen Petrie as one of your linebackers.
Right.
And right now, they're you actually heard Kevin O'Connell talk about it after the first quarter at the half, saying basically like, well, it looks like they're going to be a nickel a lot, so we're just going to probably have to run the ball a lot today.
He did.
And that's kind of the balance that you have to find, and that's why the Texans, as Bobby Slowick, especially in the first couple of weeks, but then the Vikings also are a team that plays a good chunk of cover two. Like, you got to figure out, okay, there's opportunities to run here. They're giving it to us. We got to be able to run the ball. The Texans' offense hasn't been able to take advantage of it, and then the Texans' defense last week started to show perhaps a little bit of the weakness of being lighter in the pants
yep.
than a traditional NFL run defense.
All right, the Rockets opened their new facility yesterday, which looks incredible. If you haven't seen the video yet, go find it. But the big topic coming out of that had nothing to do with basketball. We will tell you what it was. You'll hear from Tillman Fertitta on it. Coming up next,